You get into the Word and you get it into your spirit every day. You can read books, you can listen to tapes, but there's nothing like getting into the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, I pray as I share this Word that you would open our hearts and our minds and challenge us today, Father, to live our lives in and through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the second sermon I prepared for today, but I believe it's the right one. And we read together from Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13. And it goes like this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "What do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He said, "Come on, guys, I've been with you now a little while. Who do you think I am?" I think it's probably the most important question Jesus can ever ask, that he asked his disciples. And I want to ask you that question this morning. Who do you say that Jesus is? If someone comes to you and says, "Who do you say Jesus is?" How are you going to respond to them? What are you going to say to them? Oh, well, maybe he was a good man. Maybe he was a prophet. Or maybe, yeah, he's my savior. He's giving me a ticket to heaven. But no, Jesus really wanted to know what they were thinking. So he says, "What do you say?" And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Do you believe that this morning? If you really believe that, it should be life-changing. If you really believe that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one. Christ means anointed one sent from God. Christian means followers of the anointed one. Are you a true follower of the anointed one? Or do you just know about him? Or is he really Jesus Christ in your life? Jesus meaning Savior, and Christ meaning the anointed one sent from God, the Messiah, the one who's come to save us and rescue us from ourselves, because none of us can rescue us from ourselves. And Jesus says, "You are Peter, but on this rock," some people interpret this that Peter is the rock. You know, they may try to make him the Pope and everything. Shame, I see the old 95-year-old Pope passed away. God bless him. But, you know, Jesus is not saying, "On a man I will build my church." Jesus, "You are Peter, but on this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church." And how many of you know this morning, Jesus is building his church. Amen. It may be a remnant. It may not just all be the modern church that you see out there on TV. And I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying Jesus is, he is the true church on the planet right now. And he is building it. Amen. And he is in control of his church. And he is in control of Heart City Church. Amen. And as Luke shared, 2023 is going to be an awesome year of harvest. We're going to see many people. And I can honestly say we've been in Australia 25 years today. And you know that these have been the best 25 years of my life. I can honestly say that. And I'm believing, you know, God said he'll give you the desires of your heart. God's given me nearly all the desires of my heart. I just want to see all my children and grandchildren serving the Lord. And I want to see this place full. Amen? Before I die. And then I'll be ready to go to heaven. But this morning I want to encourage you to really consider how you see Jesus. Because if he's truly the Christ, if he truly is the Son of God, then we've got to follow him with all our hearts, not just when we feel like it. So point number one, Jesus must become the cornerstone of your life. He's my rock. He's my salvation. And you know, I have built two houses. And the first house, I laid every brick myself. And I realized I did a 10-week building course and then did the foundation. The foundation is the most important part of the house, isn't it? But those first bricks that you lay, the cornerstone of your house, they've got to be absolutely square. And then you get your lines in, you get them plumb and straight, and you get everything square and tidy. Otherwise, the house will come out a mess. And I just realize again that Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone of our lives. We must build our lives on the rock, Christ Jesus. Otherwise, when the storm comes and you're in sinking sand and you're sinking, if you can't stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, you're going to sink. He must be the rock. He must be the one on which you build your life. Amen. You all seem half asleep. Must have been stayed up until midnight or something. But he must be the chief cornerstone. You often see on a building there's a cornerstone and says this building was dedicated to so-and-so on the cornerstone. And that's very important on some buildings. I don't know if they do that anymore. But Jesus Christ must be the cornerstone. Amen. He must be the one we build our lives on. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's whole life is consumed by this one fact that my life is in Christ. And without him, I am nothing. And he doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants your life. He wants everything. Not just part of your life or when it suits you. No, he must become your life. Paul says, it's no longer I that live. It's no longer Peter Mayer. He died when I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I now live in him. Amen? Amen. And it's such an exciting, wonderful life when you put God first. Wow, so the old Saul was dead. Now it was all about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says this, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come as someone superior in speaking ability or wisdom. And he had both. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He'd been taught by Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of that time. He would have had a PhD, a doctorate, the Apostle Paul. He could have come with wise words. He could have come with wisdom and ability. He says, as I proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Listen, man, he said, I don't want to know any of the nonsense that's going on among you. When I come among you, I want to preach Jesus. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, then these other things fade into insignificance. Come on, people. Sometimes we get so caught up in earthly things, caught up in worldly things, we're no longer focused on Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't often say Jesus Christ, do we? You hear a lot of people in the world saying that. You hear a lot of people in movies saying that. Isn't it amazing? Using his name as a swear word. But his name is actually Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible in the New Testament, most of the time refers to him as Jesus Christ. Not just Savior, but Jesus as Lord. Amen? So, yeah, we see. The Apostle Paul says, I was with you in weakness and fear, in great trembling, and my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. A demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, we need that demonstration. We need the power of God to begin to flow through us, not just in the church, but everywhere we go. And the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to end off with a story about him, and you'll see how he became a powerful tool in the hand of God because his focus was on Jesus. His focus wasn't on himself and all about me. Number two, we must be pliable clay and allow Jesus to mold us. I'm not sure if you spell mold M-O-U-L-D or M-O-L-D. What is it? It depends if you're in America or if you're in Australia. But anyway, it says, behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. We must become clay, standing on the rock, being shaped by God into the shape he wants us to be. We are just clay, aren't we? But he can mold us into his shape. And I've written here, it's time for us to shape up. Shape up. You know, we'll always be molded. He'll always be molding us. But the time you're going to take on his shape and discover who you are and begin to live that out in the world so that the world will know who Jesus is. We must become like clay in the hands of the potter. And we can let God, the source of all that is true and good, mold our lives into his shape. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Pastor Eddie wrote that in my card once, a birthday card, and it meant a lot to me. You are God's masterpiece. There's nobody like you. No one else has your... Shouldn't do that with COVID, eh? No one else has your fingerprint on the planet. You are unique. God has created you. He's knit you together in your mother's womb. He's made you unique. He's made you into his shape. And he has a great plan for you and for me. And he wants us to take on that shape. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. I said, Lord, 2023, I don't want to just be a maintenance Christian. I want to do something, Lord. I want to do something more than just come to church. I want to try and reach out. Reach out to my neighbor. I took him a Christmas present. And he was so blown away. And I left it on his front doorstep because he wasn't there. But he phoned me and he said, thank you. You don't know what that meant to my wife and I. You know, just doing some things that are different. Reaching out to people you wouldn't reach out to normally. Come on. God has prepared works for us beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you hear that? Walk in them. Point number three. This can only happen by and through the Holy Spirit. Zechariah says, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel. Not by power nor by might, but... How did Peter know that Jesus was the Christ? The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. This is not just a man standing here. This is the Christ. This is God himself in human form. Paul, prompted by the Holy Spirit, every time he did something. And we have got to become more sensitized to the Holy Spirit. We've got to become more open to the Holy Spirit. We get up in the morning, we should ask the Holy Spirit what he wants us to do that day and ask him to guide us and lead us. So, you know, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out. Why? To make them bold. To make them strong, to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to go and fill up my car because we're going away to Albany this week. And these days, it takes a long time, it takes a lot of money to fill your car up. But it won't go without diesel in it. And so it's the same with us. We can run out of juice. the Holy Spirit can leak out of our lives, if I can use that word. We've got to, every day, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. So every morning we say, Lord, fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Are you all with me? Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, point number four. Now this is my conclusion, but it's a story. This is a great, great story in the Bible. And I believe I'm going to read this part of this, most of this chapter to you in conclusion to my message and look at a few factors in it. This is probably one of the greatest teachings on how to present the gospel, okay? And this is probably a reflection of our world out there right now. So let's read in Acts chapter 17. And it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by the idols he saw everywhere into the city. Now, let me just say this. I've got special notes here somewhere. But Athens was the hub of the world at that time. Athens was the city to be in. It was famous for its learning. The Greeks, we know, were philosophers. It was a very humanistic city. There were idols. There was a lot of hedonism. Hedonism is really humanism. It means it's all about me. And yet were these philosophers all sitting and philosophizing. There were idols everywhere. And this was the world. This is the city Paul came into. And this is the world we are living in right now. We are surrounded by idols. Whatever it may be, we are surrounded by the world. And the world, unfortunately, has been infiltrating the church as well. But there are so many idols out there. For some people, it's sport. And I love sport. I love rugby. And I know some people love that other game, you know. Soccer is a... it's a gentleman's game played by hooligans, but rugby's a hooligan's game played by gentlemen, they say. I don't know if that's true. Sorry, Mark. But anyway, I do love sport. I love the Scorchers, doing very well. But, you know, it can be your car, it can be your wife, it can be your family, it can be your work, it can be fishing. I've known people that have gone off the rails because they started fishing and then every Sunday they went fishing instead of coming to church. Things can become idols, more important than God. We're going to church is just something you do when there's nothing else to do. So Athens was this city. And they were philosophizing about all these gods. You know, they had all these different gods. What were the gods' names? Zeus and Zeus? No, Luke should know. He's a learned man. But anyway, they had all these gods. And, you know, they demanded to know from Paul who he was preaching about. They said, we want to know. Come. Let's have a chat. And Paul was provoked, the Bible says there. It says he was deeply troubled or provoked by what he saw. And he didn't accept it. He thought, I've got to do something about this. He saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue. Where else did he go? The public square. Do you note that? In other words, the workplace. He didn't just go into the synagogue. He also went into the marketplace. He was out there. He was debating. He was preaching the gospel everywhere he went. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And, so we see my notes are getting all mixed up here. I'm going to get back to my point. Yeah. And he was busy with the gospel. He was busy preaching the gospel. And then the next slide says, when he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, what's this babbler trying to say? With these strange ideas he's picked up. He was called a babbler. They laughed at him. They mocked him. Isn't that what the world is doing now to the church? It's almost like we become irrelevant. Isn't it true? Whereas 30, 40 years ago, everything was based around biblical principles and governments even. And, you know, I think our government still opens in prayer, still open parliament in prayer, which is a miracle. But, you know, we see prayer's been taken out of schools, prayer's been taken out of our society, and the world is just going crazy right now. And that's how it was then too. Nothing's changed. Others said he seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. It's amazing how many people believe in evolution, eh? That all of this just came from nothing. That there was just a big bang and everything just came about from nothing. But we, every time I look at a flower, if I look at a bird, if I look at God's creation, if I eat a fruit and I just think this came out of a dry stick that was put in the ground, how great and awesome is our God. Amen. It says, they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things. Isn't that true? That's what they're saying about us. We believe what the Bible says, not what the world is saying. We want to know what it's all about. The world want to know what it's all about. They are waiting for us to tell them. They are lost. They need Jesus. We want to know what it's all about. And it says, it should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend their time discussing the latest ideas. It's amazing when you sit with people that aren't Christians, the things they talk about. And it may be politics, whatever it may be. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice you are very religious. You seem to be a religious bunch of people. So he compliments them. You know, being religious doesn't mean to say that you're a Christian. We can believe in God, even believe in God. We can maybe even read the Bible. But if you haven't met the author of the book, if you haven't met Jesus, if he's not the savior of your life, then you're just religious. And God didn't like religious people. The Pharisees were self-righteous. They were religious, but they didn't know Jesus. Paul says, I see that you're religious. And then he goes on to say, for as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. Just go to Bali. Go take a walk around Bali if you want to see a few shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. Wow. They were worshiping an unknown God. Can you believe it? Wow. And, you know, if you go to Bali, you'll see all the altars. We've been in Cambodia a few times. We built a church in Cambodia. And every house there's got a little altar in front of it. And every day, they'll put some food in there. And they'll even put some money in there and a few cigarettes in there for their unknown God. And to try and appease him. And the only one who benefits from them are the rats and the monkeys. On the monks, sorry. So, imagine serving an unknown God. Serving and not knowing who God is. Say, well, you know, if you look at Hinduism, they've got millions of gods. They just worship anything that moves. But Paul says, I've noticed this. He didn't just come and confront them. No, he looked around. He looked to see what they were doing. And he was alert and he discerned what to say. He knew what to say. The Holy Spirit prompted him. He said, I see that you're worshiping this unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing. Wow, how sad, eh? How sad is it? There are many people that go to churches that don't know Jesus. There are many people that will tick the box for being religious, but they don't know Jesus. It says, I'm telling you that he is the God who made the world and everything in it. I read Genesis 1 this morning on God's creation, and I believe it. I believe every word in the Bible. I believe God did it just as it said in Genesis 1. And it says, this God whom you worship without knowing it is the one I'm telling you about. Let me tell you about him. The world wants to know. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. Peter Pollock always says, God doesn't need you. You need him. Amen? He doesn't need, God's got no needs. He's totally fulfilled, but he created us to serve him. And I can say in that context, he needs us to serve him. He longs for us to serve him, but he doesn't have any needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He satisfies every need. Let me find the next page. I will find it. It's here somewhere. I haven't lost it. Okay. And then it says, from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. See, God is actually in control of our planet. Not Putin or Biden or any other politician. God's in control, my friends. As we're going to 2023, stop worrying about the world situation and start focusing on Jesus Christ. He's in control. You see, none of us know what's going to happen in 2023. You don't know what curveball's going to be thrown at you. There may be sickness. There may be a death in your family. There may be hard times. You may lose a job. But if you're not standing on the rock Christ Jesus, when you're standing on the rock Christ, doesn't matter what comes your way, you're going to come through that fire. Amen? Doesn't matter what comes your way. If he's the rock, if he's the one you're standing on, if he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he's going to bring you through. Amen? Amen? So let's put our faith in him this morning as we go into this year. It says here that his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. He's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. We used to sing that song, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. Don't move without God. You know, I want to end my life well now. I'm 69 years old and I don't know how many more Christmases I've got left. But you know what? I want to end well. I want to end my life well. And you know, so I don't know how you are living. I don't know whether you are living to please God. But if you allow him, if you live in him and you move and realize that it's in him we live and move and exist, it will change your vision for 2023. It says, some of your own poets have said we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen of gold, silver, or stone. And he goes on to say, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. Repentance is something, you know, Christians don't seem to do that often. I repent every day, especially when I'm fishing and I catch no fish, then I start repenting of all my sins right back to when I was born, just in case, you know, the Lord is not allowing me to catch a fish. I repent. I say, grace, what I'm about to receive, Lord. And then if nothing happens, I repent. And then if nothing happens after that, I say, even if you slay me, Lord, let will I fish. And so I love fishing. But you know, repentance should be part of our daily lives. Repent. Asking God to forgive us. It says, repent of your sins and turn to him. Repentance means a 180 degree turn around from my sin, from the way I'm living. And now it's no longer I, but it's Christ living in me. Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. If we say we have no sin, we are liars, the Bible says. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. That's Jesus. And he proved to everyone this by raising him from the dead. There's a day of judgment coming, my friend. And sometimes I get worried about that day. I get worried when I see the way people, Christians, live. Sometimes that one day they're going to have to give an account to God. And even in my own life, Lord, help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. So when I stand before you, you'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not just you, you know, it was all about you. No, you didn't live for yourself. You lived for others. When they all heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt. But others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them. But some of them joined him and became believers. I'll die on in Anasius. And a woman named Demarius. And others with them. And people got converted. And people turned to God. And people's lives were changed. Paul didn't beat around the bush. See, wasn't it a great presentation of the gospel? A great presentation of the gospel. Find out something about people's lives and then, you know, get into a discussion with them. Don't just go up to them and say, if you die tonight, do you think you'll go to heaven? Or bash them over the head with the Bible. No, Paul found a way of proclaiming the gospel to them. And then he makes this statement, in him we live and we move and we have our being. And I want to say to you today, as we go into 2023, let's not move without God. Let's make Jesus Christ the rock, the Christ, the one we base our lives on, the one we serve with all our hearts, the one we get up in the morning, it's the first one we think about, and we run to him, and we spend time with him, and we walk with him, and we invite him into every area of our lives, in our marriage. You know, just praying with my wife this morning and thanking God for giving me a godly woman who stands with me and rebukes me and sometimes. But you know, it's so wonderful to know Jesus. And if you leave him out of your life, you're going to be a very sad and miserable person. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Father, that you revealed yourself to the world through your Son, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you came and walked among with these 12 men for 3 years, revealing who you were. Lord, teaching them, helping them. Lord, guiding their lives. And Lord Jesus, like Peter, this day, Lord, we want to say that we acknowledge you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, we come before you today and we recommit our lives to you for 2023. And we ask you, God, to take our lives, to shape us. And Lord, to remind us that we are standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. And Lord, that you are in control of our lives. We want to submit to you, Lord, as our God, as our awesome Father who loves us and cares for us. Can we all just stand together? And maybe you've come here today, and maybe you've just not been serving the Lord. This message was just for you. And maybe you haven't been walking with the Lord. Maybe you haven't had time to read your Bible for weeks. And maybe you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. Why don't you make a commitment right now? Say, Lord, here's my life. I want to give it to you for 2023. I want to start today. I want to take up my cross and follow you. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. If that is you, won't you pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to me today. Forgive me, Lord, where I've neglected you and not made you the Lord of my life. I recommit my life and rededicate my life to you. Lord, I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness for the way I've walked in the past. But today, I commit and give my heart to you, Lord, and make a commitment to follow you for the rest of my life, and especially as we go into this new year, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Awesome. We're now going to share communion together. So if you have your communion cup, if you can just grab it. If you don't have one, Stephen is going around with a container of them. You can grab one from him. And communion is for people who have given their lives to Jesus. So this morning, if that's you, you are welcome to share with us. Maybe you just did that just then. Maybe you just gave your life to the Lord. As Pastor Peter was bringing the word then, you invited Jesus into your heart. Well, then you can share communion with us this morning. And I've got a scripture to read with you from Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And this is Jesus. It says, "And Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So this morning, when we take this wafer, this morning, we don't have bread this morning, we just have this wafer. You know, why are we doing this morning? You know, why are we having this little bit of bread, which is quite insignificant? If you think about it, in and of itself, there's no much significance in this. But this morning, it's a simple reminder to us that Jesus, whom we remember every week when we come to this place, he's the one we are all about. This morning, Jesus asked us to do this in remembrance of him, so that we never stop remembering what Jesus did for us, amen? When he was in this world, and he's at the right hand of the Father right now praying for us, the Bible says. So if we can just take the bread for the first time in 2023. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, Galatians 5:1. I read to you earlier today that Christ has come to set us free. He did that through his body on the cross, amen? Before you eat that bread this morning, can you just inwardly begin to thank the Lord? Remember Jesus. Remember, think about Jesus, how the Lord has been so faithful to you over this last year. And then commit yourself afresh to him in 2023. Can we just do that now? Jesus, in 2023, we ask that you be the rock of our lives, Lord, that you be the cornerstone of our lives, Lord, that you be the foundation of our lives in 2023. We thank you, Jesus. Why don't we eat together this morning? Your body that was given, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. We're so grateful, God. The Bible goes on to say in verse 20 of Luke chapter 22, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you." This cup, Jesus says, is the new covenant, the new relationship that we have because of what Jesus did for us. We have a new and a living way to God, amen? It's called the new covenant, or we have the new testament, don't we? We have the Old Testament, the old covenant, and now we have the new testament and the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. When Jesus spilled his blood on the cross for us, And he poured it out for us. Lord Jesus, this morning we thank you that you poured out your blood for us, that our sins might be forgiven. Oh Lord Jesus, we remember you going to the cross for us, for our sins, Lord. For the sins of humankind, you took on the sin of Adam and Eve, and all the sins from there onwards and all the sins to come, Lord, you took that upon your body, Jesus. And in that moment, you became the propitiation of our sins. You took the wrath. You took the wrath of God, which was due to us. Jesus, you took that upon yourself. And your Father couldn't even look at you while you're on that cross, coated in our sins. But we thank you, Jesus, you did that. You're willing to go to the cross for our sins. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We honor you. We glorify your name this morning, Jesus. That you spilt your blood for us, that we could have life, life in abundance and eternal life. We can be free from the consequences of this sin, free from death. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can have eternal life through your sacrifice, Jesus. You took a debt, Jesus, which was due to us. You took that upon yourself. And you died on that cross, Jesus. But then you rose again. And this morning, Lord, we look with expectant hope to that glorious day when we will share this meal with you, Jesus. We will drink and we will eat with you, Lord Jesus. We have that hope in our hearts, Lord. We eagerly long for that day. We thank you for this. Why don't we drink together, church? In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I just felt just to do something this morning when I woke up, thinking about the service, that we can end the service a little bit differently, if that's okay. We'll, if we can, if you can just find somebody that you can pray with. Maybe we ask maybe families to come together. And maybe you're here by yourself today. That's okay. You can find someone else, or you can join a family. That's fine. Or even a couple of families joining together, or a family and someone else, invite someone to join your group. And just join hands. I just had this picture this morning of us all across the service this morning. I know there's a lot of people not here today because of many different reasons. But if you're joining us online, you can do this as well. Can I just ask that, can we just all stand up? Can we just find some family? Find your family if they're here. If not, just join in with another family this morning and pray with them. Commit this year to the Lord, amen? Commit this next 12 months to God as a family. Commit it to Him, thank Him. Ask Him for His Spirit to lead and guide you. just in closing, we're going to sing a song together. And a massive thank you to our team this morning. You blessed us so much. You know, just thank Pastor Pete. Thank Pastor Pete for that great message. What a great message. Thank you for sharing that. Thanks, Christine.
Let's sing. Jesus.